Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the chips in the PC. It is Saturday, the 13th of March, Anno Domini 2010, and you, you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And at 3 minutes after the hour, going to be bringing you news, views, stuff you can use. But even before we do that, we should let you know.
Yes.
That starting next week, It will be the pledge drive again. You know, we are member-supported radio. And so twice a year or so, whatever the number is, we come to you and ask for your support. And you folks have been generous in the past. But you know what the real problem is? People forget. Well, now you don't have to, because up until 6 o'clock Wednesday morning, March 17th, you can pledge early. And if you pledge early, there's a special bonus that comes along with it, a special CD that will be picked by the important people on the staff. Clearly
not us.
Oh, darn. And we'll be able to send that to you if you make your pledge. It's easy enough to make your pledge, particularly for you computer folks. All you do is go to jazz901.901.org and click on the pledge button, and you're in.
You mean my CD that I tried to slip in of all Uncle Dave's rants didn't make the special CD?
You know, oddly enough, no. You don't. That is not
the special
CD.
Doesn't go for anything, you know?
You know, although perhaps at the $150 level, we can do something.
Yeah, put one together.
But in general, yeah,
I'm
no.
SOL.
Yeah, you're SOL, actually. That's how that works.
The story of my life.
It stinks to be you. All right.
Yeah, it does. It you know?
What yeah. All right, let's start with.
Wait, before I got it. We got a new listener, which I think is kind of special.
I think so, too.
I got to put a shout out to her. It's M and her daughter, Ida. They both listen to us. And what makes them so special is they're listening from Denmark.
Denmark.
Hello.
I don't believe I speak Danish.
She gets going sometimes, you know, talking, and it's like, uh-huh. But, yeah, another great listener, you know, listening to our show from around the world. Of course, we got, you know, Lukey and the rest of them over there in England. And
yeah, people all over the place.
This is unbelievable, the folks that we're getting to here at Jazz 90.1.
I can say Husker Du, but I don't think that's Danish.
According to Google, Danish for hello is hedge.
Hedge?
H-E-J.
Hedge.
Hedge.
So hedge to all our Danish listeners.
Cool.
All right. On Thursday, now we're back to the United States, the U.S. Federal Communications Commission added tools to broadband.gov, their website, to help users measure their broadband speeds or to report that they do not have broadband available. Transparency empowers consumers, promotes innovation and investment, and encourages competition, FCC Chairman Julius Genachowski said in a statement. By informing consumers about their broadband service quality, these tools help eliminate confusion and make the market work more effectively. The Consumer Broadband Test measures broadband quality indicators such as speed and latency and reports that information to consumers in the FCC. A mobile version of the app, the first mobile app released by the FCC, is also available through the Apple and Android app stores. The Consumer Broadband Test uses two popular broadband testing tools, the Ookla Speed Test and the Network Diagnostic Tool running on the Measurement Lab or MLab platform. The FCC plans to offer additional broadcast testing tools in the future, the agency said in a press release. The network diagnostic tool released by the FCC will collect important information about the true state of broadband in the United States, according to Sasha Meinroth, director of the Open Technology Initiative. The Broadband Dead Zone Reporting Form, which I love the name of, is designed to allow U.S. residents to report areas of the country that do not have broadband services available. People using the broadband reporting tool at broadband.gov are asked if they have broadband at home and if they would be interested in subscribing if broadband were available. They are also asked to provide their address. U.S. citizens can also email the FCC at fccinfo@fcc.gov to report on broadband availability or call 1-888-CALL-FCC, among other methods. The FCC will use the data gathered from the tools to analyze broadband performance and availability, the agency said. Consumers' privacy will be protected. So if you go to broadband.gov, you can test your broadband speed. It would be interesting to test it against the speed tests that your internet service provider actually shows you. So when you do that, then come back to our website at soundbites.org. That's bites with a Y. Francis would like us to remind you. And tell us what you found. The poll of the week is, how's your broadband speed? And the choices are faster than I expected, slower than I expected, pretty much what I expected, and what broadband, you insensitive clod? So far, we've got 50 people who have voted. 58% of you, pretty much what
so
you expected.
PC.
32% of you, slower than I expected. Only 8% of you, faster than I expected. And one person doesn't have broadband. But what's nice about this is there has been an initiative to get broadband out to the United States. There are what we think of as third world countries in the world that have massive broadband penetration.
They've got fiber.
They've got fiber, and they've got
super Fios. Fast.
They've got my stinkers. They've got my Fios and everything else. So, yeah, there's been a lot of that out in the rest of the world, and we are now the third world country when it comes to broadband. So the government has an initiative to find out where broadband doesn't exist or what speeds it exists at, and hopefully figure out a way to bring everybody up to good speed.
Is that like, where is Waldo? Where is broadband?
Yeah, exactly.
Find the broadband in this picture.
Exactly. So for all those of you in the Rochester, New York area, your job is to underreport your broadband so that they insist we get something along the lines of Fios or the Google network coming in. Once you've made your little choice there on the poll, I know that's not going to be enough for you, particularly with a question like this that involves both broadband speed and the government. So if you look at the little yellow box underneath and you click on the link that says give us your opinion, it will take you to my website, asknick.com.
That's asknick.com.
Thank you. Well done. Where you can take a look at our opinion question of the week is, what do you think about the government's broadband survey? I want you to be polite, however. For those of you who are listening on, who have downloaded the podcast because you can't get us live and spend hours downloading the podcast because you don't have broadband, this is definitely someplace you need to be going and and entering in your information. So our question to you, how do you feel about it? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ, that's 966-5299, or toll free, 1-800-790-0415, just like Ralph did. Where are you calling from, Ralph?
Rochester.
And what's your question?
My question has to do with public access Wi-Fi security.
Yeah.
I've recently switched from dial-up, and I've joined the Broadband Revolution.
Congratulations. Go to broadband.gov and let them know.
Okay. I do have the speed tester here on my computer, so I'm pretty close. But what I used to do is when I traveled, because I had dial-up, I could just dial a local number with my provider, and I would I was able to use the internet, especially internet banking, while on the road. Now, with broadband now, my present plan, the current plan, I don't have flexibility. I don't have
right.
a dial-up.
Most of the providers in America have dropped their dial-up coverage.
Yeah, so what I was thinking of is, I have recently, since I've acquired the broadband, I've recently set up a Ethernet network in my office, and I also have wireless capability in my router, which I have on my PC. So everything's working fine. I have a multi-character key wireless encryption.
There you go.
So I think I'm in good shape.
It sounds like you are.
Yeah, wired
now,
for sound.
Now, if I take my laptop to another state, which I will be doing, I'm thinking, well, can I pick up public Wi-Fi at a library or at a restaurant? And you know, what precautions do I need, or should I just forget about doing internet banking in that situation?
Well, the safest thing is to not do internet banking.
Yeah.
If you are doing internet banking, make sure that you are at an HTTPS site, so which, it's secure which, wireless.
Okay. Which goes, you know, for wherever you're connecting, even on your own network.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Sure.
You are a little safer if you use your own laptop that you're sure does not have any keystroke loggers or malware built into it. And until you have that secure connection, anyone else at that public Wi-Fi hotspot can
could
see
be
your
sniffing
traffic.
It.
Right. So you never want to use a public computer for anything like that because you never know what's already infected in that computer.
But if you're using your own machine and it's an HTTPS connection, you see the little lock and everything else.
Yes.
You're safer. Are you safe? Encryption gets broken pretty regularly.
And it's also, there are spoofability exploits in the wild where someone at that Wi-Fi hotspot can be putting out a fake internet connection. And your computer connects to his and then onto the other end.
And if you really want to get paranoid, even if you're in a public place that doesn't have anybody doing that, at some point your data are going through somebody else's router. And how do you know they haven't set up that router to capture all the packets?
Oh, at the local restaurant or whatever.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So, I don't know what to tell you about that. I tend to not do any sort of financial anything when I'm not at home.
Find a teller.
Yeah, exactly.
And even the ATMs aren't necessarily secure.
Yeah, save that for when you get back or try to do any. If you're going out of town, try to get some of the banking to happen a little ahead of time or pay it by check or whatever. But to, do it that way. Checking your email is a whole different story versus just regular surfing. But when it comes to your financial, that you're sending it across wirelessly, I'd be awful, Larry.
Okay. Thanks for the advice.
There you go.
Thank you.
Okay, bye now.
Yep.
There have even been a few cases recently where in town, here in town in Rochester, but all over the country as well, where ATMs have had skimmers put on them. And they're so small and so unobtrusive that people don't notice them unless you're really, really looking for it. So when you put your ATM card or your debit card into an ATM, the bad guy reads your credit card number too.
Yep.
And then they have a little pinhole camera that watches you type your PIN in. So, be very suspicious about things that are sticking out of the ATM.
Right. And yes, much encryption is, if the encryption is high enough, 256-bit encryption you can break with your wristwatch, but if it's high enough, it's hard to break. That doesn't mean it can't be broken. And again, we've talked over and over and over again about how now most of the stuff that's stealing financial data is being done by overseas companies that are doing it specifically for the money, and therefore, consequently, they've got fairly high amounts of computing power at their disposal. Will they be able to break it in an hour or a day or a week? Might take them a month, might take them 6 months. But unless you've changed banks in 6 months, those data are still viable. So you want to be careful.
Yeah, somebody had posted that question on the Security Now podcast. If you're interested in security at all, you should be listening to the Security Now podcast that you can get at grc.com. But someone asked a question about future encryption. 10 years ago, we used to think that 64-bit encryption was enough because it would take the computers of the day so many years to solve it. But if someone keeps your packets around and waits for computer technology to progress, now they can break into that really easily.
And one other thing I would caution folks, so many folks take their laptop and they go other places, like Ralph there. If your home network, you're sharing your hard drive at home on your laptop. When you go out, turn that sharing off, because if you're on the wireless and if I do some sniffing and I see your computer there too and I can tap in it and you got it wide open because you're sharing it from your home network, bingo, all your files could become mine. And if you've got banking information and everything else there, guess what? It's now mine.
That's exactly right. That is exactly right. All right, we're going to go back to the phones. Or not, possibly not.
Give us a call back.
Don't quite know what happened there, but we've lost that caller. And We will vamp till ready while Dave picks up the next call coming in, and we'll see what happens there. It's we do have this phone system was designed for a school, not a radio station, and consequently, it's Dave has many hoops to jump through in order to give us our phone calls. But I believe we have Mark on the line. Mark, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Where are you calling from?
Manlius, over near Syracuse.
Sure. What can we do for you in Manlius?
Well, first I got a comment, then I got a question.
Sure.
I don't think that the government should be having anything to do with all sorts of things, including getting people broadband. They can do it themselves. I shouldn't pay for other people's problems. Just like healthcare and a lot of other things.
Yeah, the big issue there is
nose out of.
Yeah, it's the monopolies that have cropped up, that there is very little competition in most cities because of the monopolies that the government has allowed. So part of the plan is the government's trying to fix their earlier mistakes.
But that's not one of the things the government should be providing. But anyway, my question is about a printer.
Okay.
Bought a new Lexmark laser printer. Well, actually, it's my wife's business. And sometimes it prints, sometimes it doesn't. I renamed the files and then reinstalled it, and it still does the same thing. And I cannot figure out.
All right, listen, we got to have you hold on.
Okay.
We're going to take a quick break, but stay on the line. We will come right back to you in just a couple of minutes. But it is important for us to take a little break because we need a nap. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and all of you. It is Sound Bites on, and pay attention to this, member-supported Jazz 90.1.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more Sound Bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Join us on Sundays 5 to 7 on Jazz 90.1 for Big Road Blues, an exploration of vintage blues spanning the 1920s through the 1970s. Tune in to Big Road Blues with host Jeff Harris as he digs deep into blues history, spotlighting blues legends and forgotten blues heroes. Along the way, he'll fill you in on the stories and history behind the music. That's Big Road Blues every Sunday 5 to 7 on Jazz 90.1 with your host, Jeff Harris.
America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, celebrating 20 years.
This is station manager Rob Linton. The Jazz 90.1 spring membership campaign is about to begin. Now is the time to renew your membership or become a brand new member to keep the jazz going on Jazz 90.1. When you consider becoming a member of Jazz 90.1, think about how much time you spend listening, how much you enjoy the great jazz music and special programs you can't hear anywhere else, and how much it means to you to keep jazz at your fingertips on the radio and internet. Remember, Jazz 90.1 is supported by our members. We receive no funding from the Greece Central School District, no government grants, and no large corporate sponsorships like other large public radio stations. We're counting on you to keep Jazz 90.1 on the air. Please call now, 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free to 1-800-790-0415. Or you can pledge securely online at jazz901.org. Thank you for supporting member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Pledge now at the $35 level and above until the start of the membership campaign on March 17th and receive a special bonus gift CD along with the other great thank you gifts available at each level. Go to our website, www.jazz901.org, or call 966-JAZZ, that's 966-5299, and support Jazz 90.1.
Hey, honey, she's all fixed. Want to go for a spin?
Sure. Honey, what's that in the back seat?
Oh, that's just the 23 pieces I had left over.
Time for a new vehicle? Well, Jazz 90.1 would love to have your old one. Just call 966-5299. Jazz 90.1 will pick it up, plus you'll get a tax deduction.
Is that 966-5299?
Yes. Donate your old vehicle to Jazz 90.1.
Honey?
I'm already dialing.
What do you love about the radio?
I just like the variety, because it can put you in different moods and you don't know what to expect. I think it's, my favorite part is you don't know what to expect. So I always get excited when a song is over, because I'm excited for what the next song is going to be.
New artist Caitlin Crosby loves radio.
Still have my heart. You still have my heart.
Discover Caitlin Crosby and other new artists where it's good to be heard. Radio. Always something new and fresh, always free. Go to RadioHeardHere.com.
There are a ton of social networking websites, but one stands apart for a very special reason. This one saves lives. It's MatchingDonors.com. MatchingDonors.com links organ donors with people in need of kidney and other transplants. In the U.S., 19 people die each day waiting for an organ transplant, most of them for kidneys. If you've ever considered becoming a living organ donor, or if you're someone in need of an organ transplant, visit MatchingDonors.com, home of the greatest gift of all, the gift of life, MatchingDonors.com.
Hey, this is Derek Lucas, host of The Spectrum. Join me every Sunday night from 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'd be Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And at 24 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites, and we have Mark from Manlius on the line. Now, you've got a Lexmark laser printer.
Correct.
Sometimes it prints, sometimes it doesn't. You renamed the files, you reinstalled, same thing. That's where we stopped.
Right. I can't figure out what makes it not print, because, you know, I'll print one email, go to the, it's her thing, but she'll go, you know, in the same program, go to another email, and it won't print. You know, print something off a web page, one time it works, next time it doesn't.
Is this laser printer connected directly to her machine?
Yes, it's got an LPT1 hookup. They set it up that way because that's what the old one was.
Sure.
So
did you remove the old driver?
What I did is I went in and renamed everything.
No. I mean, the old driver
was supposed
for
to override the old Lexmark software.
No. Yeah. Stop. Was the old printer also a Lexmark?
Yes.
Okay. Go ahead then. Sorry.
I went in and renamed everything: Lexmark 1, Lexmark 2, Lexmark 3, stuff like that, so that they were all, you know, renamed and just installed from scratch the from the CD.
A lot of times that's the problem. You need to uninstall all of the previous software, delete all the previous cues, and then install the new software and make a new cue.
Yeah, because not all the software is named Lexmark anything. So my suggestion would be to remove all printer drivers from your system, her system.
Okay.
Then make sure they're all gone. Then install the Lexmark drivers and see what happens. Because what it sounds like to me is there's at least one, if not more, stray files still sitting in there, still trying to take control, and every once in a while they get control and therefore send your print out to a non-existent printer. So don't do a rename, do a complete uninstall. If that printer's gone anyway, you don't really care about those files anymore. There's no reason to keep them around unless you're really sentimental about old printer drivers.
Well, the instructions said something about keeping them for the DLL files or the shared files or whatever. So, but I'm also afraid that since the cash register printer also runs on there, I want to be careful about what I uninstalled, you know.
So you've got a second printer on there?
It's networked together with but the cash registers don't use that, but I'm just afraid if I go too far that it won't print at the cash register.
And that's certainly a possibility. But if that's what you're worried about, then what I would do is I would make sure that the Lexmark printer drivers are uninstalled. Make sure the cash register printer still prints. And then if you can, if she's networked to something else or if that printer allows it to be networked by itself, stick it on the network instead. Or stick it on another computer on your network and have her point to it for printing. Then those printer drivers won't be interfering in any way with the cash register. It's always a gamble if you're not a professional at this, to play around with a production machine that runs your business.
Okay.
And so if you can in any way put that printer on some other machine, then or directly on the network by itself, then I would do that rather than connect it to that machine.
Okay. All right. I'll see if I can.
Sorry.
All right.
Figure that out. Okay.
Good luck.
Thanks, guys. Good
all right.
Show.
Thanks. Thank you. That's always a tough one. I understand that we like our machines to do double and triple and quadruple duty, but I can't tell you how many people, how many times I've heard the tragedy of, well, I lost all my whatever because we also used this machine for something else, and that ruined it. If you've got a business computer, use it for business. It also makes it a lot cleaner for the IRS and for everything else. So if you, well, it does.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Oh, I use it for business. Well, what are these games? Well, my kids use it to play it.
Oh, we get that too, though. We'll get folks that will sit there and say, have me clean it up and then bring it back in 2 weeks later. She goes, because I'm running my business and I see all these, BearShare, LimeWire. I took that off. Yeah, I know. My kids use it when I'm not, the evenings and all that to play their games and all that.
Well, it's not then it's not a business computer. It's a home computer that you're kind of playing with for business. And when you do that, honestly, what you end up with is a computer that doesn't work right for either. If you're going to run a business, have a business computer. Computers are not terribly expensive nowadays. Make it a write-off. Lock it down. Don't let your kids on it. Don't let your friends on it. And don't you use it for anything but business. That's the only way you'll know that it's a real business machine. Don't use it for your email. Business email is one thing, but you got to be aware. You got to be careful. And I realize that sounds like a lot, but so what? It's your business. That's the way it should work. All right, we're going to go back to the phones. Our next caller is Mike. Where are you calling from, Mike?
I'm calling from Pittsburgh.
Okay, and what can we do for you?
Well, guys, I need an opinion. I've got a HP laptop, a 5220 laptop, and I've had it almost 4 years. And about 3 or 4 months ago, I would turn the machine on, and I would notice that about the bottom third of the screen would be more or less cut off and frozen and have colors on it. Well, being the expert that I am, I started to shake the machine. And that
percussive maintenance, it always works.
That would restore the machine, and it was fine. Well, what I've noticed is since then, the situation has gotten progressively worse. In the sense that even with professionally directed shaking and tapping, it oftentimes doesn't come back. Now I have tried hooking up an external monitor to it, and that worked fine. So I also was in touch with the HP. One of their infamous chat sessions, and they had me start the machine and wanted to know if hitting F10 if it still showed, and I said yes it did, and they told me, well, you're going to need a new LCD screen. And my question is this: with a laptop of this age, does it make sense to repair the screen or to just say the heck with it and move on with life?
Yeah, we see this in a lot of laptops. It's often the cable, it's the video cable that connects the motherboard on the bottom to the screen on the top, and that goes through the hinges. So every time you open and close your laptop lid, you're wearing out that cable. Unfortunately, with most laptop vendors, the screen is one part, and so to replace that cable, you end up replacing the whole screen, and that's usually several hundreds of dollars, and often then not worth doing. What a lot of people do with older laptops is hook an external monitor up to it and turn it into a desktop.
Right.
Yeah.
So my suggestion is, unless you're going to buy a $3,000 laptop,
nah.
A significant portion of the cost of a new laptop would be in the old, replacing the old screen. So it's like buying a new car. You know, if I've got to put $1,200 into a new heater core, I'll just buy a new car.
Yeah.
I just went through that. And it was annoying. I have a 98 Dodge Caravan head. And 6 months ago, we put $1,000 into the air conditioner and the engine. And then 2 weeks ago, the transmission blew. So another $2,500 in a 12-year-old car didn't make sense.
Same thing here.
And now I wish I hadn't spent the last $1,000.
Exactly. Our suggestion is, because just like what happened to Steve, something else will go wrong next, a 4-year-old computer.
Right.
Our suggestion is buy yourself a brand new laptop and a cheap external monitor and keyboard and mouse, and now you'll have a laptop and a desktop.
Yeah, that sort of makes sense to me.
There you go.
Well, that's scary that we actually told him the right thing.
Well, it made sense to him. That doesn't necessarily, we don't know him well enough to know if that's a good or bad thing.
Well, wait a minute. Didn't the fact that I knew that I was right enough to try and correct it by shaking the machine tell you something about my expertise?
Yeah, it does, actually. Yes, it does.
Yeah, we're all.
I won't say what it tells us, but it does tell us something, yes.
If you're watching on the webcam, you can see our positive faces.
Sometimes we've seen people that by angling the screen at just the right angle, it'll work fine. But and that angle may be 3 degrees, so it's hard to use.
What's interesting to me is when you want to break something, you take a hammer to it. When you want to fix something, you take your hand to it. It's the same percussion.
But
our suggestion here at this point is absolutely new machine, keyboard, mouse, and monitor for the old machine.
Well, that's just like the person that, you know, thought they could get the key to work better because pressing on it didn't work. They figured their fist.
Yeah.
Pounding on it would get it to work that much better.
You do the same thing with remote controls. When the battery's dying, you push the button harder.
Yes.
Absolutely. Well, look, I won't take any more of your time, and I appreciate it, and best of luck. Great show, guys.
Thanks,
Thank
Mike.
You.
All right, bye-bye.
Yeah, that's we do the same thing. How many times have we banged on the side of a monitor, pounded
and
our fist?
It's surprising how often it works.
It is. But we know it doesn't, maybe if it's, we used to have that problem with Apple IIIs, if you remember the Apple III. We got a whole batch in from Apple, and none of them worked. None of them would boot up. And I called tech support, and the guy said, lift up the front panel about 6 inches. So I lifted it was an all-in-one machine, right?
Yep.
So I grabbed hold of the bottom of the keyboard under the space bar, and I lifted the whole machine up about 6 inches. And I start to look under it like I'm expecting to see something. He says, now let go.
I remember this.
I said, what? He said, let go. I let go. He said, okay, turn it on. And it worked perfectly. I said, what happens? He said, the chips walk out of their sockets. At the time, they weren't soldered in. They were just put into the sockets. And during shipping, they walked out of the sockets. So putting them back in again made it all work.
We used to have that problem after using it a while because the heating and cooling cycles would lift the chips up out of their sockets.
Yep. So, yeah, we were careful about that. All right. We're back on the phone, maybe, with David, who hung up on us earlier, but we're willing to talk to him anyway. David, where are you calling from?
From Bergen. Yeah, I hung up. I love listening to your guys' show, and I'm always thankful it's not me calling in.
Gotcha.
And yet, here you are.
Here I am.
This is a call for a friend, right?
Yeah, I have this friend.
After a reboot last night, when Super Anti-Spyware found some Trojans, nothing seemed to work, as in I can click on any application or do a right mouse button drop-down menu run or open. What I discovered is I can open most anything by either opening a document or using the drop-down menu after right-clicking and using Start. So I'm thinking that somehow I'm not recognizing .exe files.
Well, what's... go ahead.
There's a known virus out there, a Trojan, I should say right now, that will kill all .exe files. In other words, if you go in the control panel, you try to start any of the programs in there, it says gives you an error message. If you try to start, say, Internet Explorer, it won't let you do that.
And the error message is that it gives me the... unassociated file type, which file would you like to...
Yep.
Right, so it doesn't know it's an XE.
I can open them all if I use Start instead of...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but there is a fix for that, and I don't remember the file. It's an EXE. We did a search, and I found a program that will correct that. And I can't remember it right offhand. But if you do, if you go on another computer or if you can get on the internet and do a search, it's well known right now. Do a Google search that EXE files will not start getting error. There is a known Trojan out there, and like I say, I apologize. I don't have the name of the program that corrects that right off the top of my head.
I'm looking it up.
I can get to the internet here. Once I discovered I could, on a way to get Firefox started.
But, yeah, see, what happens is you're double-clicking the EXE, and there's some virus Trojan still stuck in the machine that's intercepting that program launching
and stopping it.
Or what happened is Super Antispyware removed the Trojan but didn't change that registry entry that says look for the Trojan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the Trojans it found were Trojan DRO. I can't read my writing. I was so upset.
Tell you what, if you can, email me, Dave at nrightpc.com. And I'll try to get you the file name and send it to you.
XEFix underscore.
Yes.
Are you on, what operating system are you running?
It's Windows XP.
XEFix underscore XP.com.
Thank you.
And apparently you can download it.
Mm-hmm.
Small
little file.
Steve's going to put up this link, but I'll give it to you as well. It's Windows XP.mvps.org. /exefile.htm, and it's a program called exefix.xp.com, and that will help, or that will fix the problem, essentially.
WindowsXP.mvps.org.
Right. Read that whole page because it's going to tell you a lot about there is a little bit of registry hacking. We hate to tell people to do that, but the rest of it should work. So go for it. We're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes. Dave Enright, Steve Ramey, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 39 minutes after the hour. We are Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Before you call into our show, please make note of the following rules. 1. Turn your radio down. 2. Turn your radio down lower. 3. Remember, nobody has invented a good-sounding speakerphone yet. Don't use them. 4. Make sure you have a point. It makes for a more interesting show. 5. Calling does not guarantee you'll get on the air. No whining. 6. If you do get on the air, please do not tell the host what you just told the screener. We don't care. And 7. Is that radio turned down yet? We hope this will make for a more enjoyable program, and we thank you for your time.
I'm Steve Wozniak, and you're listening to Soundbites.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Hi, this is Tom Pethick. Please join me every Monday evening from 6 to 9 as we take a journey into jazz. We'll hear music from homegrown jazz musicians such as vibist Joe Locke and the late legendary saxophonist Joe Romano. And, of course, we'll hear music from today's new artists. That's Monday evenings from 6 to 9, right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Helping you with your computer questions for over 20 years. Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Hi, this is Charles Benoit, host of The Smart Set, here with a special warning going out to all you Jazz 90.1 members. Stop smiling like that. Yeah, you love being a member of Jazz 90.1, but you're going to pull a muscle or something. I know the membership card is definitely worth smiling about, what with all those cool discounts at area shops, but frankly, all that smiling is making those non-members jealous. So until everyone's a member of Jazz 90.1, just try to control yourself and keep smiling safely.
This is Station Manager Rob Linton. The Jazz 90.1 Spring Membership Campaign is about to begin. Now is the time to renew your membership or become a brand new member to keep the jazz going on Jazz 90.1. When you consider becoming a member of Jazz 90.1, think about how much time you spend listening, how much you enjoy the great jazz music and special programs you can't hear anywhere else, and how much it means to you to keep jazz at your fingertips on the radio and internet. Remember, Jazz 90.1 is supported by our members. We receive no funding from the Greece Central School District, no government grants, and no large corporate sponsorships like other large public radio stations. We're counting on you to keep Jazz 90.1 on the air. please call now, 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free to 1-800-790-0415. Or you can pledge securely online at jazz901.org. Thank you for supporting member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Pledge now at the $35 level and above until the start of the membership campaign on March 17th and receive a special bonus gift CD along with the other great thank you gifts available at each level. Go to our website, www.jazz901.org, or call 966-JAZZ, that's 966-5299, and support Jazz 90.1.
Welcome to Move Time Radio, presented by the Arthritis Foundation. Yeah, get down and dance. You hear that? That's the sound of arthritis pain being moved, grooved, hustled, shuffled, juke, jive, jumped, funked, shimmy, shook, and boogied. See, movement is just one of the ways to help fight osteoarthritis pain. Another is weight loss. You get rid of just 1 pound, that's 4 pounds of pressure off each knee. For more information on managing pain, wind and grind on over to fightarthritispain.org. This message brought to you by the Arthritis Foundation and the Ad Council.
You can only reach certain people through things like Facebook and MySpace. So for radio, it's great because it pushes us up to a new level and really just opens up opportunities for us that we didn't have before.
New artists like These Green Eyes, reaching new audiences every day where it all happens. Radio. To learn more, go to RadioHeardHere.com.
Hello, this is Joelle Van Buren. Join me weekday mornings from 6 till 10 on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And at 44 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. Hey, a Panda security employee discovered 3 malware programs on a recently purchased HTC Magic phone when it was plugged into a Windows computer. Upon further investigation, Panda found out that the employee's phone contained 3 malware programs, a client for the now-defunct Mariposa botnet, the Conficker worm, as well as a password stealer for the Lineage game, according to Pedro Bustamante, Panda's senior research advisor. The malware programs were on the phone's 8-gigabyte micro SD memory card, which mounts as an external drive when plugged into a PC, according to Bustamante. When plugged into a Windows PC, the Mariposa botnet client would automatically run. Now, what they're thinking is that what happened was this machine was actually returned by somebody and then refurbished and sold to somebody else with that same, or at least the 8-gigabyte card was, whether or not the phone was, and that's how it got on there, because so far they found no incidents of it happening on any other phones. So it's more like, according to what they're saying, and it makes sense to me, if it's only one phone, it's likely whoever had that phone originally.
Because there have been cases where production lines have been infected, and every model coming off has been infected.
Absolutely, but that clearly is not the case here because they haven't seen it on any other phone. So they're not as worried as they could be. But that raises a question for us. Do you have any sort of smartphone with any sort of data storage on it that you can plug into your computer? Do you test it for viruses? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299, or toll free, 1-800-790-0415, like Sammy did. Welcome, Sammy. Where are you calling from?
Hello. Excuse me. Hi, guys. I'm calling from Greece, New York.
Greece, and what's going on with you?
I have a question about Win 7 and media players. My first question is Winamp, which I use regularly on my XP machine, will load on my 7 machine, but it requires you need the latest DirectX. Now, I went on Microsoft.com, and I know the latest or the last release for DirectX for XP was 9.0c, but when you go up the list, there's like 4 or 5 other versions of DirectX. I downloaded the 2010 February redistribution or something like that. I don't know if it's the proper one, and I'm not going to install it on 7 because I've already installed a couple of programs that I use on 7, and they seem to, like, I guess, not be supported and kind of disappeared. You know, the guys at Best Buy told me, yeah, if it's Vista compatible, it'll work on 7. And I find that not to be true. Right. And I've been having difficulties, and I'm starting to really hate 7. Can you give me a little guidance here as far as which DirectX I do download to get my Winamp to work properly? And how could I download or install Real Media Player without connecting it to the Internet? Because I'm not going to put 7 on the Internet because I'm not familiarized with it because I kind of skipped the Vista generation because it was garbage.
Yeah.
So I'm still getting used to it. So I'll leave it at that and let you guys answer if you could help me on the media side of things there.
All right. On the media side of things, the latest version of Microsoft DirectX is 11, and it comes with Windows 7. So what may be happening is that Winamp doesn't recognize Windows 7 or DirectX 11.
Okay.
But it comes with Windows 7, and
so what do I do?
If you don't have it, you can download it directly from Microsoft at Microsoft.com/Windows/DirectX.
I tried that, and it comes up with like I said, like a link list. It'll have like DirectX 9 A, B, C, and then it'll come up with SDK. It won't actually say, I know I need DirectX 11, but there's not a file to download that actually says DirectX 11 that I found on Microsoft.com.
Right, and it comes with Windows 7, so you've already got it.
It's built in.
Then how come, why doesn't Winamp recognize that?
Well, what I'm saying is the problem may not be a Windows problem. It may, in fact, be a Winamp problem.
Okay.
What I'm looking up now.
Well, I downloaded the latest version, and I just installed it like 10 minutes ago. And I said, if this is like messed up, I said, I'm calling these guys up. I'm usually pretty good at figuring these things out, but it's like Microsoft is, their website's just a mess anyway.
What version are you running, 64-bit or 32?
64-bit premium.
And is Winamp's, the version you downloaded of Winamp for 64-bit?
Whatever was on download.com.
No, absolutely not. There's your problem. You need, if you're going to run, and this is what people don't get.
Yep.
That's not at all going to work.
And Winamp.
Yeah, but I was told that Windows 7 will handle 32-bit applications. I didn't even know that.
It will handle some of them. It will handle some of them.
Yes.
It will not handle all of them, and in particular, the ones that handle video and audio and hook themselves deeply into the operating system.
Which is 64-bit.
Right, and the hardware really should be the same bit size as the operating system you're running.
Cause
there's really no way around that.
Because his key phrase was, should. And the should does not mean it
see,
will.
And if they told you it will, then they don't know how to fudge properly. Yeah, we're used to saying
I guess
should,
they were more interested in giving my money than than answering my question.
Yeah, they made the sale, and that's all they care.
You know, these big box stores kind of tend to be they get annoyed when you take up a little bit more of their time and try to ask them certain questions on stuff that you actually like are trying to run or gonna run on your system.
Well, Johnny was selling probably appliances and refrigerators last week.
Yeah, if somebody comes up to you in a computer store and asks if you would like fries with that.
Okay, so how could I solve my Real Media problem? Because I have a lot of Real Media videos. That I've like downloaded over the years, RMVB format, but the latest Real Player, it's only like a small executable file, I guess, which you click on the executable and it downloads it to your system. There's not an actual, like the old Winamp was itself its own program file, self executable file. It's just like a 1.1K file, and I guess you have to be online.
Take a breath.
Yeah, a lot of programs are doing that now. They download a stub, and then that stub downloads the rest of the program.
And one other thing you might want to do is once you get the Winamp on your machine.
Well, he's back to real.
Either or. whatever one you're doing, and if it's not working correctly, one of the provisions that was in Vista and also in Windows 7 is you can right-click on that icon. There is a tab for compatibility. What you can do, even though your OS is running in 64-bit, you can lie to it and tell it that it's running in something else. So if maybe you tell it that it's running in Vista, it might fool it out. I'm not going to guarantee it, but it's worth a shot. All it is, you know, click on one thing, right-click on it, say compatibility, go over to it and tell it's running on some other type of OS. And get out of it, locking it out of the 64-bit, it might kick it over and let you run it in that mode.
Okay.
All right?
All right. I'll go online, and I'll go on NoSoft and look for their 64-bit version of WinAmp. I didn't know that there was one out there. I just went to download.com.
We don't know if there is.
I don't know that there is either, but that's the only thing that's going to be guaranteed to work. I don't know that there's a... I'm looking right now, but I don't know that there is. Go check it out and see what they have to say.
Yeah, the basic system requirements don't specify one way or the other.
Yeah, that's...
And when I did a search for 64-bit WinAmp, it's all in the forums. Are you going to come out with a 64-bit version?
Yeah, that's what I got,
Well, two things, though, we should mention, you know, talking about other things to check for in that, is one, folks should remember, one, that it's daylight savings time.
We're springing ahead tonight.
So 10 to 1 odds, you're going to want to go into your computers, folks, and change the date and time.
Well, theoretically, they'll change by themselves, but you want to be certain they did.
Double check, yeah.
Remember that bug in, was it 98, where if you happened to be awake at 2 a.m. and the clock went back to 1, and you go, oh, that was neat, it fixed itself. Then an hour later, it said, oh, it's 2 a.m., and put it back to 1.
Yep.
And an hour later, it went, oh, it's 2 a.m., and put it back to 1.
And then the other thing we got to really shoot out to the folks is that come this Friday, we're going to have a open house here at the studio.
It's going to be so fun.
And we're going to be here, the three of us are going to be here along with, and we might even let Rob Linton come if he behaves himself.
Well, and several other on-air personalities
well,
from
that's
the
what
radio
I mean.
Station.
Linda yes. and the rest of the crew are all going to be here, you know, and even some of the Polka guys might show up. So if you want to bring your check down, have some goodies, see where we do this great show each week. Come on down. We're going to be here from 5 to 7. That's this Friday. So bring your checkbook. Come on down. We'll even have some pictures taken as you're
For
hitting.
Those of you listening to this in the podcast too late, it's Friday, March 19th, Anno Domini 2010.
Yep. Come on down. And
see somebody listening to this like in 4 years.
Yeah.
Great. I'll go down tonight.
Right now.
Hey.
And what time was it? It's 5 to 7?
5 to 7 p.m. Yeah. This Friday, the 19th. And like I said, you'll be able to see the studio where it's done live without a net. And also see the other folks that are on air that you hear.
And that's really
the
fun part because we listen to these people all week long. And we think we come to know them, but we've never seen them.
Because we have faces for radio.
We have faces for radio. So for many of us, it's good that you don't see us. But come on down. Check us all out. Bring your check. In fact, check us out. And
double check.
That's right, because it's really the kickoff for the member supported drive, and we'll be talking about this more next week. But you all know this: we don't get to be here without your support. That's what makes this station exist. It's why we get to be on the air every week, because you people, in your infinite generosity, and you've been great, have been kind enough to part with your hard earned dollars to help us out, and we're going to need you to continue to do that. And you might as well come down and have cookies while you do it. So bring your checkbook and bring your appetite and bring a second pair of glasses, because seeing us will break the first pair. And we'll have some fun for a couple hours.
Because we got to really get something going here to kind of beat the Polka guys.
Well, and that's the problem, isn't it?
Yeah.
The Polka guys have been on this station since, what, 1830? I think it is. Somewhere along in there. I mean, they're old. Okay?
From the first Oompa.
Yeah, that's right. They were the first Oompa. And they've got a lot of listeners, and they make a lot of money for this station. But we, the young upstarts,
key geeks,
that's right. We, the cocky young Johnny Come Latelys, we've decided that we can whip their little butts.
We gotta.
And so we need you to step up to the plate. You've got a whole week to think about this. You've got a whole week, and come down Friday, and we can overwhelm the Polka people. On Friday, and we can overwhelm them once we actually We'll overwhelm the Oompas, and we'll and during the pledge drive, our job is to bury them.
We are
going to bury them, and that's up to you. So get ready to pledge, because it's coming up next week, and we need you to do that.
Well, we see it each week with our numbers. I mean, you know, the streaming, the folks that are on the stream, we literally had a problem for Rob, what was it, about 3-4 weeks ago, when I had to call him and said, there's a problem with the stream. All right, yeah, I'll check it out. We had choked it, because we had over 100 people listening on the stream. So we're going to be tapping into those 100 folks or plus that constantly are on the air, you know, streaming through the web and everything else and listen to us each week. We're going to be coming to you, and we need your dollars.
Just think, if every one of those people, those 100 people on the stream, just sent us $35.
Yep.
That's
all
we need.
We're not asking for a lot.
You know?
That's only 10 cents a day.
That's 10 cents a day. That's hardly a noticeable amount of money.
Cheaper than a cup of coffee.
I mean, think about you people who go to Charbucks every week. You're spent every day.
$4 for a cup of coffee.
Think about this. You could send us $2,000, and it would be less than you spend on coffee. All right, we're going to take a break, and I know you're glad to hear that because really the begging starts next week. But we're going to take a quick break. Linda's going to come in and yell at us for starting the begging early. I can see that now. She's got that fire in her eye. Look at her. But we're going to take a break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes.
She's joking, I think.
With Dave Enright, Steve Ray. I'm Nick Francesco. We are the longest running computer show in the known universe. And we are here in our beautiful home at member supported. What was that, Nick?
I said member supported
Jazz 90. And the crowd goes wild. Member supported Jazz 90.1. We'll be back for a whole nother hour of sound bites that you people have made possible. So stay tuned.
Got a computer question? Call the boys now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or toll free 800-790-0415. Online at soundbites.org. Soundbites continues next on member supported Jazz 90.1.
America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, the answer to your computer questions, on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
WGMC Greece Rochester, a public service of the Greece Central School District, Jazz 90.1.
Streaming online at jazz901.org.
These days, digital technology is everywhere. Many dentists use digital technology to produce x-ray images of the teeth and jaw. Digital x-rays allow a dentist to capture the image instantly. The image goes directly to a computer and it can be enlarged to almost any size. If a dentist wants to copy your x-ray, with your consent, it can be printed or securely emailed anywhere in the world in just a fraction of a second. Because digital x-rays are saved, stored, and shared electronically, that could mean no more file cabinets filled with paper files and x-ray films. This efficiency is another reason why digital x-rays are the choice of many dentists. Today's advancements in digital technology are making life and dentistry better for everyone. For the ADA Dental Minute, I'm Dr. Maria Lopez-Howell. For more information, visit our website at ada.org.
Businesses benefit from underwriting Jazz 90.1. Not only do you reach about 20,000 listeners a week, that includes listeners who only listen to Jazz. In addition to being beneficial, underwriting Jazz 90.1 is very affordable. To find out how your business can benefit from underwriting Jazz 90.1, call 966-2660. That's 966-2660.
Here's another I Love New York travel tip.
Lake Placid's rich history of hosting the best in winter sports continues March 28th to April 3rd as athletes from around the world gather at the Olympic Sports Complex for the America's Cup bobsled and skeleton competition. America's Cup features men and women's skeleton, as well as two-man, four-man, and women's bobsled. Many of these athletes are up-and-comers, looking to gain sliding experience with their sights set on making their respective Olympic and national teams. It's exhilarating, heart-pounding winter sports excitement, and it's right here in New York State.
For more information, dial 1-800-CALLNYS. That's 1-800-CALL-NEW-YORK-STATE. Or visit the I Love New York website at iloveny.com.
Showcasing the best in winter sports. Another reason I love New York.
You are invited to attend our Jazz 90.1 Open House, Friday, March 19th from 5 to 7 p.m.
Tell 'em I'll be there.
Come tour the Jazz 90.1 studios and enjoy refreshments and have great conversations with our DJs and other Jazz 90.1 listeners. While you're here, you can renew your membership or become a member of Jazz 90.1. If you pledge your financial support at the Open House, you'll receive a special bonus thank you gift. Some of the other great gifts are available now for you to take home as an instant thank you for your support. That's the Jazz 90.1 Open House, Friday, March 19th from 5 to 7 p.m. at Greece Olympia High School, 1139 Maiden Lane.
You can tell her I'll be there.
Look for the signs in the parking lot and we'll see you there. I mean, right here at Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And at 4 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. By now, I'm sure you know that the Apple iPad can be pre-ordered. I doubt if that's a surprise to anyone, but if it is, call your local Apple dealer. Do you know of any, Steve? Local Apple dealers?
Yeah, but... There's a story. No. Yes. Call us up at MacAv, and we will hopefully be able to sell iPads.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. I should have probably. Okay. At any rate, you can pre-order the app. The availability of pre-orders isn't the only new development in iPad land, however. Apple also updated its site with a plethora of new details about its latest and greatest device, from information on the 3G networking capabilities to a more in-depth description of the iBooks application. In introducing the iPad, Apple said that it had struck a groundbreaking new deal with AT&T, allowing iPad users to get 3G access on their devices without having to sign up for a contract. Users would have two choices. Even Apple knows that people aren't going to spend money for two ludicrously exorbitant...
Completely in line with the rest of the industry.
Right. That doesn't matter. That's not my point. Yeah. I'm saying the whole industry is exorbitant. Or extortionist, maybe, is the better word. Without having to sign up for a contract, users would have two choices, a $15 per month plan that limited their data consumption to 250 megabytes, and $30 per month
plan. With a meter to tell you how much you're using.
Well, I'll get to that part. And a $30 per month plan for unlimited data. Plans could be signed up for or canceled at will, but questions continued to abound. On Friday, Apple answered those questions, or at least some of them, on its website with a page on the iPad's 3G support. Those users who choose to sign up for the metered 250 megabyte plan will be provided with information on the iPad screen to let them know when they approach the data limit, specifically when they have 20%, 10%, or no data remaining, just like the iPhone's low battery warnings. When the alerts, which I'm sure you've all seen more than once, when the alerts pop up, you have the option of adding more data or waiting until later. Signing up or canceling your data plan can also be done by the iPad cellular data plan window. You can even change to the unlimited plan from the 250 megabyte plan or add another 250 megabytes of data. You'll also be able to view how much data you've currently used, how many days are left in your plan. A screenshot on Apple's site also alludes to an international plan, although Apple hasn't provided any details yet. The iBooks application will not ship with the iPad. Rather, it will be a free download from the App Store. While many of details were already known, Apple did drop a few tidbits on its iBook page, such as the fact that free iBook, free EPUB titles available from elsewhere can be synced to the iBook via iTunes, allowing you to read them on your iPad. Apple also says iBooks will remember where you left off when you finish reading, allowing you to pick up from there next time you launch it. Well, duh. I mean, if they don't do that, nobody's going to buy one.
They also said that any of the books you buy in the iBook store will be able to voiceover read to you, which is a problem that Amazon got into last year, that the publishers, the Writers Guild.
The Authors Guild, actually.
Authors Guild, yeah, they wanted taken off.
So we so they're saying that it'll work, but we don't know that the Authors Guild thinks that's kosher yet. Squirreled away in the iPad specs page is a new addition as well. The iPad now supports AVI videos in motion JPEG format. With data rates of up to 35 megabits per second, resolutions of up to 1280 by 720 pixels, and PCM stereo audio. iTunes has never supported any AVI files in the past, and this data rate is huge, goes way beyond what even the Apple TV can handle. So does this whet your appetite for the iPad even more? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or, of course, for you folks in Denmark, toll-free, 1-800-790-0415.
I don't know if international calls are toll-free.
No. But
no, probably not.
No, M says she enjoys it just for, she doesn't know a lot about computers, but, you know, she finds this entertaining.
That's just it.
Enough.
Now that we have video, I can go back to juggling. Now that we have video, I'll never juggle again. Our next caller is Harold. Welcome, Harold. What's your question?
Hi. I got a question about Security Tangle.
Sure.
If you have a computer.
Oh, wait, where are you calling from?
Hamlin,
okay, thanks.
If you have a computer with multiple users on it, do you have to run Security Tangle on each user?
Yes.
Or as long as you log on as an administrator, does that take care of all the users then?
If you log on as an administrator and you are truly the administrator of the machine and you reboot into single user mode or safe mode as we call it, and et cetera, then you only need to run the ones.
Yep.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. That was easy.
I usually try running it in all the users anyway, just to be safe.
It certainly can't hurt, but
well, they clean out the junk and temp files. Definitely, there's a program out there, ATF, that'll clean out a lot of the caches in it, and it'll do it for all users. So again, you only have to be on one. So I mean, I've had folks, but I still go into each user and still go in and under the temp folder and get rid of those.
Yeah, those are important because they can just fill up your hard drive. I had a friend who filled up her hard drive, and she said, well, what do I do now? And I said, well, you just dump the stuff in the temp file. And the question always is, how do I know what I can dump? Well, you can dump anything that'll let you dump it, essentially. There are some files in those folders that are opened by Windows, and you cannot drop them anyway, so don't drop those. But everything else, go ahead and drop.
Yep.
All right, our next caller is Joe. Where are you calling from, Joe?
Mount Morris.
Mount Morris, New York. How are things down in lovely Mount Morris?
It's raining.
Really? Up here, it's 82
sunny,
degrees
80.
And sunny. Come on up. Bring your bathing suit. Come on up. What can we do? What? Okay, not Mr.
I've
Morris,
I've
Mount
got a
Morris.
Comment and a question.
Go for it.
The comment is, in the past, I want to help somebody maybe lacrosse.
Wait, you're breaking up.
I couldn't figure out how to do a nice print of a directory on Windows XP. I finally found a program called Karen's Print Directory that works beautifully. It allows you to format either a single drive or multiple drives or various options on printout, but it really produces a real nice file that gives you a nice layout of the file.
Karen's Print Directory?
Yeah, I don't know exactly what website it is anymore, but yeah, Karen's Print Directory.
All right, thanks.
And really works well.
Cool. What's your question?
And the question I got is, I'm thinking about buying a Mac laptop, and but I was wondering, what is the software I need to get with it to enable me to exchange various like Office documents with other users who are on the XP platform? What program besides what it comes with that I need to get to do that easily?
Well, there are a couple.
Well, and it depends on what you want to transfer. If you're just transferring Word files, you don't need to buy anything extra. The text edit word processor that comes with the operating system handles most Word files.
Not the new DocX, though.
Yes, including the DocX.
Excellent.
Yep. Right.
I'll double and I'll be able to do it.
Yep. If you want to do PowerPoint or Excel files, then you can use the free OpenOffice or the free NeoOffice. You can use Apple's iWork suite, which is $79, or you can buy Microsoft Office. The home version is $150.
Now, is the OpenOffice still free, or does it have a?
Still free.
Still free. And in fact, there is a version of OpenOffice that is really designed more just for the Mac called NeoOffice, N-E-O Office.
It looks more Mac-like than the OpenOffice does.
And it is OpenOffice under the hood. They just changed what the front looks like a little bit to look more like Mac stuff. And it reads all Windows Office formats. It'll write Windows Office formats. I use OpenOffice all day, every day. I run Linux at work, and I exchange files all day long with people running Windows with Microsoft Office, and they never know I'm not on Office.
So if I create a file on the Mac using NeoOffice, for instance.
Right. You have a choice of formats to save it under.
Okay, yeah.
And you can choose to make the default format the Microsoft formats.
Wonderful.
So you can do that in whatever way you want.
Wonderful.
There you go.
Well, that answers my question. I do appreciate it, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, we just had a customer this week that she was looking to buy her first Mac and said, "Well, I have to buy Microsoft Office to be compatible with my school." No, you don't.
Right.
You may have to buy a word processor, but it doesn't have to be Microsoft Office.
Right. I don't understand why people spend between, say, $400 and $700 or even only $150 when they can get a set of programs to do everything they need to do absolutely free.
It's the familiarity.
Familiarity?
That I can't pronounce.
Sure. But you know what? To save yourself even $150. Because you're going to send us that $150. To save yourself $150.
That's only 41 cents a day.
That's only 41 cents a day. That exactly. Steve has all these numbers in his head. Ask him any number. I'll tell you how many days it is.
Six.
Just send us the money. The reality is that if you can save that kind of money, why not try it? Even if you decide you don't like it, what have you lost? A couple of days? You can spend the $150 tomorrow. You don't have to spend it today. Try the free software. I'll guarantee you'll find it's usable and likable, and you may even love it. So that's the kind of thing that we encourage people to do here. But that, you know, I've been using OpenOffice from a lot of versions. Chris is saying, a friend of the show, Chris Reich, who's on the IRC chat, said people don't trust free. And that's often true. They don't think it can be as good as.
Well, I think some of it is they don't know it's there. You know, their company, you know, their work has Microsoft Office, and so they click on the Word icon. In fact, a lot of times they don't even know it's Word. They click on this icon to type a document. Well, that's Microsoft Word.
Mm-hmm.
And they think that's all there is because that's what they have at work.
Yeah, because how good can it be? I paid over $400 for this package.
Well, I stole it from work.
Yeah, right.
And I'm doing this one for free.
Right, how good can it be?
Yeah.
And the other thing is that people really, like I was talking to somebody the other day, and they said, what's Linux? And I said, it's an operating system. They said, what's an operating system? Windows is an operating system. So it's Windows? No, it's like Windows.
Mm-hmm.
It runs your machine like Windows does. It has Windows and mouse and icons and menus and drop downs like Windows, but it's not Windows. And they could not wrap their head around that there was something that wasn't Windows. I mean, they understood the Mac. That's a whole, you have to buy the hardware to run the Mac, but they couldn't wrap well.
Yeah.
But they couldn't wrap their heads around. And they're very bright people. This is not the field in which they normally work. They couldn't wrap their heads around the fact that you could take a Windows computer, because there are only two kinds, the Windows computers and the Mac computers. You could take a Windows computers and run a different operating system that wasn't Windows.
Well, it's just like we have trouble with folks constantly, you know, having to differentiate between memory and hard disk space.
Especially since they're both calculated in the same units. Gigabytes.
Yeah. Well, I try to always tell them, well, think of your hard drive as a huge file cabinet, whereas your memory is like the dance floor. And it's how much I can pull out of those file cabinets and lay out on the dance floor that I can do stuff.
Oh, see, I do much the same thing, only I call it the desktop. Your memory is your desk.
Yep. Good point, yeah.
And your hard drive is your file cabinet. Mm-hmm. So when something's not on your desk, you put it in the file cabinet.
Yep.
And your file, and the bigger your desk is,
the giant
the more
drawer labeled miscellaneous.
Exactly, you only need one drawer. I just leave everything piled on the desk.
Yeah,
my filing system is archaeological.
You a lawyer?
And I know where it all is.
Exactly.
Are you a lawyer
I hate
or a
when
doctor?
My wife cleans my desk.
Oh my God! I cleaned my desk once and lost everything. Everything. Yeah. It was all logically put away somewhere. I couldn't find anything. I was helpless for months.
I went into this one doctor's office one time, and the doctor got all upset over his secretary because she was leading me in, and he literally had stuff stacked all over the place, and she accidentally knocked a pile over. She goes, because when she's walking, she goes, I don't dare knock anything over, because last time I did, he was on me for over a week because he couldn't find a particular file. She goes, and I don't know how the heck he finds anything in this mess.
Yep.
I mean, I would just, you know, if I was there, I'd just grab a match, throw it in, close the door.
We had a faculty member who had literally.
Some people call that arson.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We call it spring cleaning.
Yeah.
We had a faculty member who truly had floor-to-ceiling piles of paper. And when we were installing networking in our building, one of the guys went in to install networking, accidentally knocked a pile over on himself, and it actually knocked him to the ground. It was so tall and heavy.
Whoa.
He came out of the room. He said, I'm not going in there. That room's not going to get networking. I don't care. You can't make me go in there. It's a violation of OSHA.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we had so we finally had that faculty member try to clean stuff up. He wept.
Well, it's like that program Hoarders. You ever see that one?
No.
Oh, I forget what channel it is. Discovery, I think it is. And it's literally a program where these folks have this compulsion that they can't throw anything out. And you look at their houses, and they are literally stacked wall to wall with garbage because they cannot throw anything out.
I still have a copy of Windows 286. How is that a bad thing?
No, Nick, this is, you don't even have a place to sit down, or this stuff is just, if you saw it, you'd sit there and say, oh my God. Again, there's another one, stand back, hit the flamethrower to it, and just watch a huge, you know, and grab the sticks with the marshmallows and watch it burn.
Yeah.
But these folks, I mean, it's really a sickness.
Well, and now I see people doing it on their hard drives.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I see people who have never thrown anything away. Really? Seriously? You need Let's Go to Lunch Mary from 1994?
Mm-hmm.
You need that email message? Think about it. You know, I can't throw any of my email away. They run out of hard disk space. Well, I can't throw any stuff
or
away.
Or it slows the program down so bad, and they wonder, well, this machine is slowing down. Well, clean out your email. 8,000 emails?
8,000 pikers.
You know, I mean, hello. And, well, to those 8,000 for this one client? He's does architect work, so attach that.
Now you're talking.
So these are huge, and you know, and they kept choking, and we'd have to go in there and pack it up. And you go, well, isn't there some way I can do? You know, yeah, get rid of some of these or move them off. Well, what if I need them?
Right,
on the external hard drive.
And what is hard for people to understand is that your email system is not your archiving system. You know, it's actually easier to pick something else and to actually use something else as your archiving system, where you can do better searching and sorting and all of that stuff. But people don't. People do what's familiar to them. I get that. I do understand that. And what's familiar to us is taking another short break. So we're going to do that, and then we'll be back on the other side of that with a whole lot more of Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 20 minutes after the hour. We are Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Computer talk you can understand. More Soundbites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Ladies and gentlemen, y'all ready for the blues?
If you're ready for some blues, look no further than Sunday nights. I'm Greg Lefebvre, your host for Doc's Juke Joint. Every Sunday from 7 till 10, part of our 5 hours of blues on Sunday nights. On the Juke Joint, you'll hear new blues, classic blues, and our extensive music calendar. Dig the blues on Sunday nights on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Sound Bites, celebrating 20 years. What does it take to create a great jazz radio station? The best jazz music? Sure. Knowledgeable DJs who love the music as much as you do, naturally. A fine facility with the best equipment, of course. But what is most important in creating a great jazz radio station is the decision to make it happen. And that is what you do when you decide to become a member of Jazz 90.1. Listeners enjoy a great jazz station, but members make them happen. Keep Jazz 90.1 happening. Call 966-JAZZ, 966-5299 today and become a member of Jazz 90.1.
This is Station Manager Rob Linton. The Jazz 90.1 Spring Membership Campaign is about to begin.
Now is the time to renew your membership or become a brand new member to keep the jazz going on Jazz 90.1. When you consider becoming a member of Jazz 90.1, think about how much time you spend listening, how much you enjoy the great jazz music and special programs you can't hear anywhere else, and how much it means to you to keep jazz at your fingertips on the... Jazz 90.1 is supported by our members. We receive no funding from the Greece Central School District, no government grants, and no large corporate sponsorships like other large public radio stations. We're counting on you to keep Jazz 90.1 on the air. Please call now, 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free to 1-800-790-0415. Or you can pledge securely online at jazz901.org. Thank you for supporting member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Pledge now at the $35 level and above until the start of the membership campaign on March 17th and receive a special bonus gift CD along with the other great thank you gifts available at each level. Go to our website, www.jazz901.org, or call 966-JAZZ, that's 966-5299, and support Jazz 90.1.
Jazz 90.1 is supported in part by our members and by Professional Instant Press, a copy, fax, print center serving Monroe, Wayne, and Ontario counties. Professional Instant Press offers offset printing, binding and collating, digital copies, executive stationery, color business cards, placket mounting, custom forms and resumes, design, screen printing, and embroidery. Professional Instant Press now carries print-on-demand invitations and also Birchcraft and Encore for weddings and other special events. Professional Instant Press, a positive printing experience. In the Lyle Mount Reed Plaza, 254-7275, 254-7275.
Hi, this is Charles Benoit. Join me and the entire Smart Set tonight from 5 to 6 right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
All right, welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesca.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And at 24 minutes after the hour...
He lets me have too much fun with
these
controls.
We are sound bites. We are having fun. Our next caller is Steve. Where are you calling from, Steve?
Steve, I'm from Rochester.
And what's your question?
I'm hearing you over my phone here.
You should be.
I have a friend who's going to Israel, and she won't be able to upload easily. So I want to get a camera that we can use the SD card on, which we will be able to share with, you know, all of our friends. But I want something cheap. Can you tell me what we can do? Because she may, you know, it may have to be left behind. It may get damaged. It may get lost in translation.
Virtually every camera uses SD cards these days.
Right. So yes. Pretty much any...
I want something very inexpensive. I want something that's good, but which will be... Not something that will be damaged.
Break the bank.
You know what I mean? Yeah, go to any store; you'll see dozens of them.
XM is a nice brand. Motorola actually. Mm-hmm.
Motorola.
Kodak.
Kodak makes great cameras.
Looking for a still camera or video camera?
Oh, still.
Yeah. Although most stills will do video, and most videos will do stills these
right.
days.
Yeah. Yeah, they do. These days.
When is your friend going?
What I want is not to leave her with so that she's going to have this thing to carry with her, but if she has to drop it or if it gets damaged or anything.
Yeah,
you can get very small point-and-shoot shirt pocket cameras. Some of them are a little more
small.
Rugged.
The best thing to do is to take a look at any of the stores that carry good cameras. You know, there are a bunch of them. Some of them are underwriters. Check them all out.
You may want to look at a camera store rather than a big box store. They'd probably know a little more.
Right, and take a look at what's available and what the prices are. One of the things you have to be aware of is that cheaper cameras generally have latency, shutter latency. That is to say, you press the button and then, you know, X tenths of a second later it takes the picture.
Which doesn't sound like a lot. But it is when you're sitting
there. It
means
I had a cheap camera every single stinking time I missed the good shot.
Because you push the button and then set the camera down, and you get a picture of the camera moving.
Right, or even if you click and hold because you know it's going to take forever, you know, you miss the good expression or the funny look or the, you know, whatever it is.
Yeah.
So you want to take a look at them. You want to hold them in your hands and make a conscious decision between spending very little money and getting very little quality.
Well, the problem is that they're crazy over there, and anything could happen, and I don't want her to be thinking about a stupid camera with a lot of money.
Well, I do understand that, but that's why you need to take a look at them. You want to find, you know, there's a sweet spot between real cheap and real expensive, and I can't name that for you because I don't know your circumstances.
Well, the other thing, too, is you don't want to go so cheap that, you know, granted, you know, losing it is going to be a cause, but you know, it could also, buying this cheap camera also produce a lot of crappy pictures. Yeah. When you get them back, it's like, oh my gosh!
Right. So you want to? That's why you need to see these things. You need to hold them in your hands. You need to
what
look
you're
at
willing
the output
to spend.
And everything else before you can make that decision. There's no, and I know you called us up to get an answer, but there's no answer to this one. You need to take a look at what you have. Now, I spend a lot of time, too much time, on a site called Woot.com,
yes.
Woot.com.
They just had one camera
and
for
they
sale.
Just, and they have cameras all the time, and they're $30, $40, $70. And I bought probably most of them over the years. While they're all nice cameras, certainly I don't mind losing the $40 ones, but I also really don't mind losing the $40 ones because they don't take great pictures. And the latency, the shutter latency is terrible on them.
Oh, yeah.
When is she leaving?
Oh, fairly soon. And she's going to be there in the
So really, yeah, really, Steve, we can talk about this on and on and on all day long, but here's the bottom line. You got to go look at them yourself. The only way you're going to make a good decision is to hold them, take some pictures with them, take a look at the output. Any decent camera store will let you do that. And find that sweet spot for you between a low-cost camera that she can just dump if she needs to and a higher-cost camera that will take great pictures.
And one of the things to keep in mind is some of the really, really cheap cameras don't use memory cards. They have internal.
The minimum right there, because we're going to share it with friends.
They'll have internal memory that you cannot expand. So you take your pictures on the card, and then you plug on the camera itself. Then you plug the camera into your computer to share.
And
the
nice thing about the cards is you can bring as many of them as you want, and you can leave them in the camera. And even if the camera gets confiscated, you still have the cards. More importantly, when you get back, you can either, most computers nowadays have a slot for them. If not, you can buy a $30, 10-in-1 reader that lets you move all of those to a computer, and then you can put them all on CD to give to your friends or whatever you want to do with them. So that's a very good way to go, but you really got to go look at them.
Okay, well, thanks a lot.
Sure.
I was hoping for a hard answer. But
I know, and I'm sorry. Yeah, I wish there were one. I'd give it to you, but
there's hundreds
isn't.
Of choices from dozens of brands.
You guys are smart. And I
well, good luck.
I didn't know where we were going. But,
and, you know, if you go to one of the high-end reputable...
Find out what's going to happen.
Yeah, and if you go to one of the high-end reputable places, then you're sure they won't steer you wrong because they've got a reputation.
Yep.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Yep. Thank you.
Yeah, I've been looking at the Kodak 1015IS. It's 10 megapixel, 15x zoom. It's $300, so it's a higher end camera. But I want a high zoom for the type of pictures I take. We go to a lot of conventions, and to see the little tiny person way up on stage, you need a big zoom.
Right. Well, and I, you know, like I said, I bought a million cameras from Woot, but when it came time to buy one for my daughter, I bought a Kodak. And it's higher quality and it's more expensive. And now I want one because it's just got better pictures and it doesn't have the shutter lag.
I was just...
All right, everybody. Y'all know what that means. It's that time once again. So get your footy jammies on, kiddies. Grab a mug of hot cocoa. Sit Indian style in a semicircle around the rocking chair, because if we can slap them away, it's time for Story Hour with Uncle Dave. Uncle Dave?
Mm-hmm.
Uncle Dave.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man.
Here's your chance. I know it's that we need to get you some pads, some cushions for that rocking chair.
Yeah, really.
We do. I know.
Can we put a requisition in for you?
Yeah, you can put all the requisitions you want.
Yeah,
it's not
going
to help you.
Going to get some. Okay, Wally Waldo, there. You know, keep looking and keep looking and keep hunting. We've been talking about this already on the air earlier, the earlier hour, and what I'm referring to, folks, is yes. We get these great folks that, you know, maybe last week they were selling shoes, and this week they're selling computers, and they don't have an idea of what the heck they're doing. And if they tell you, Well, you go and ask them, well, is it going to work with this, this, and this? And they go, oh, yeah, should. And again, this is what I said before. Should doesn't mean it's always going to work. And by that, I also mean is you can get this other equipment home, and Windows 64-bit, it's a great operating system. Go, don't get me wrong. But it's
Windows 7.
Windows 7. What did I say?
64. Windows 7 64-bit, not just Windows 64-bit.
Windows 7 64-bit. You know, most of the machines you're going to go into all these other stores, you're going to find come preloaded with it.
Because they want to give you 4 gigs of RAM, and you need
and you're going to be able to see it all. Yes, you can put 4 gigs into a 32-bit, but it's not going to see it all. It'll only see the 3 gig. You've got to step up to the 64. That's going to be one of their selling points. Oh, you can do this. But now you get, and just like that other caller, when you go looking for some stuff, they may not have quite yet the 64-bit version. And this is what I was having problems with this one gentleman trying to explain to him. He goes, but they said it should be there. And I go, well,
yes,
sir.
Yes, it should be.
They don't have it. Well, when are they going to? I don't know, sir. You might want to call the company and find out from them. Yeah, but they said it should be. I go, sir, yes, in time it probably will. 64-bit, I got to admit, is really starting to catch on. More and more manufacturers are starting to do the 64-bit drivers, but it's going to take time. This stuff just doesn't happen overnight because of the hardware issues.
And then people always say, well, you know, you can always load 32-bit software. Mostly you can, but here's the problem with that. When you switch from 64 to 32-bit and back again in a computer, the CPU itself has to do a context switch. That means it takes all the 64-bit data, sets it aside, turns itself into a 32-bit processor, and loads all the 32-bit software. Then it does all that. Now it's got to go back to the 64-bit. Mm-hmm. It's got to do another context switch. Yep. It unloads all the 32, switches itself back to 64, and loads in all the 64. That is the most expensive thing in terms of time that a computer CPU can do, and it does it 100 million times a second. So what you end up with is your computer slows dramatically. Well, last week it was running really fast, and now it's running slower. What changed? I don't know. Did you load Adobe Air? Yes, I did. Adobe Air is crap. No, it's just 32-bit.
Mm-hmm.
So your system has to do a context switch every time it wants to check it, which it does 100,000 times a second, and that slows your system down
considerably.
And
the other thing that folks have to understand is when these manufacturers are, you know, developing the drivers, back in the day, and I mean back into the old 286 days when we just had 5 1/4 floppies, computers were simple then. They had usually maybe one or two video cards. There was no mouse.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't have DVD burners, let alone CD drives, scanners, and all this other stuff attached to them. Nowadays, there are so many different manufacturers in the PC world that are out there and different peripherals that you're adding. The cameras and the scanners and, you know, all these other devices that are now USB and everything else and different iterations that you can have. It's hard for companies now to get a driver out there that's going to work with all of it. It takes time. And yes, Windows 7 is a great product. I really like it a heck of a lot better than Vista. But, you know, in the 64-bit, thank God, is finally catching on. I mean, game machines are up to 128-bit. Here we've been stuck in 32-bit. 64, bless you, should be coming along even faster, I think, by this summer.
But Adobe doesn't seem interested at all in 64-bit.
No, not yet.
Air, at least for Linux. And
I found a website for Windows users, x64bitdownload.com, lists known 64-bit software and where to download it from. And according to this, for our previous caller, the current version of Winamp is 64-bit. It just doesn't specify on its website.
All right, kiddies. There we are. That's the end of another story hour with Uncle Dave. Get your footy jammies off.
Pads.
Put your you're going to need those pads.
Yeah.
All right.
I got a week back.
You know, how long you had it?
About a week back.
Very good. Very, very good. The Three Stooges taught us something. It's good to know.
Supporting Jazz 90.
What happened there? Are we doing that? No.
No.
Apparently
no.
Not. Okay. In that case, I'll read.
I hit the wrong button. I was trying to go for the cheer, and I wound up clicking on the wrong one.
Go for the news.
See, I don't panic anymore. I just pot it down.
That's right. Pot it down. Move on. 2 weeks before a browser hacking contest is to kick off in Vancouver, British Columbia, Apple patched 16 vulnerabilities in Safari, 12 of them critical bugs that could be used to hijack a machine. Apple updated Safari for both Mac OS X and Windows to version 4.0.5, hardening the browser before it's tossed into the ring with Internet Explorer, Firefox, and Chrome at this year's Pwn to Own Hacking Challenge. The contest organizer had predicted that Safari would be the first to fall when researchers battle for $40,000 in prize money beginning March 24th at the CanSec West Security Conference. The last time that Apple refreshed Safari was November 2009 when version 4.0.4 quashed 7 bugs. According to Apple's advisory, 12 of the 16 vulnerabilities were labeled with Apple's arbitrary code execution phrase, meaning the flaws are critical and could be exploited to compromise a Mac or Windows machine. Unlike other vendors, such as Microsoft and Oracle, Apple does not assign a threat ranking to the bugs it discloses. 9 of the 16 flaws patched Thursday were in the open-source WebKit browser engine that forms the foundation of Safari. 6 affected only the Windows version, which runs on XP, Vista, and Windows 7. Of the half dozen only Windows vulnerabilities, 4 were in the image I/O component and could be triggered by specially crafted image files. 2 of the 16 were reported to Apple by browser rivals. Billy Rios, a browser bug researcher who formerly worked for VeriSign but is now on the Microsoft vulnerability research team, was credited with one of the Windows-only flaws. Robert Zwicky of Google found one of the WebKit vulnerabilities. The WebKit fixes may be timely. Last month, Aaron Portnoy, security research team lead with 3Com Tipping Point, the sponsor of Pwn to Own, bet that Safari would crumble at the contest in part because it's built on the notoriously buggy WebKit. In both 2008 and 2009, researcher Charlie Miller hacked into a Mac within minutes at Pwn to Own by exploiting an unpatched Safari vulnerability. So, our question to you, feeling safer about using Safari or not so much? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ, that's 966-5299. Toll free, 1-800-790-0415. But in the meantime, we are going to take a little break to give you plenty of time to dial that phone. We're going to come back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, with Steve Ray. I'm Nick Francesco, and each and every one of you out there has the opportunity to call in and join in the conversation as a member of the Sound Bites family. We're right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more sound bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Hi, this is Tom Castronova. Please allow me to refresh your memory. It used to be on Mondays from 6 to 9 when I started on this station. Then I moved to Tuesdays and did this thing called Tuesdays with the Two Toms, and we featured Louis Armstrong music. Then I moved back to Monday from 6 to 9. Now I'm back on Tuesday. You got all that? So please, join me Tuesdays from 6 to 9 p.m. right here on member-supported Jazz Radio in Rochester. Jazz 90.1.
The Pitside Room, Ship's Paradise, The Cotton Club, Shalimar, Jinx and Jones, Indigo's, Ben Keaton's, The Oak Tree Lounge, Top of the Plaza, Round Towner, The Pine Grill, The Glass Onion. Those are places that we all loved, but they're really not in the past. The doctor keeps them from being just a memory. Hi, I'm Paul Kiley. Join me every Monday morning from 1 a.m. to 6 a.m. following the Spectrum for Jazz Overnight on your member-supported 24-hour jazz station, Jazz 90.1 and Jazz901.org.
Celebrating 20 years on air, Sound Bites on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
This is Station Manager Rob Linton. The Jazz 90.1 Spring Membership Campaign is about to begin. Now is the time to renew your membership or become a brand new member to keep the jazz going on Jazz 90.1. When you consider becoming a member of Jazz 90.1, think about how much time you spend listening, how much you enjoy the great jazz music and special programs you can't hear anywhere else, and how much it means to you to keep jazz at your fingertips on the radio and internet. Remember, Jazz 90.1 is supported by our members. We receive no funding from the Greece Central School District, no government grants, and no large corporate sponsorships like other large public radio stations.
We're counting on you to keep Jazz 90.1 on the air. Please call now, 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free to 1-800-790-0415. Or you can pledge securely online at jazz901.org. Thank you for supporting member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Pledge now at the $35 level and above until the start of the membership campaign on March 17th and receive a special bonus gift CD along with the other great thank you gifts available at each level. Go to our website, www.jazz901.org, or call 966-JAZZ, that's 966-5299, and support Jazz 90.1.
Listeners who listen on a regular basis may want to support Jazz 90.1 that way, too. If your budget is organized around monthly expenses, it may be more convenient to support Jazz 90.1 monthly as well. For example, a pledge of $10 a month would mean $120 a year in support. The payment amount you choose is automatically made each month directly from your credit or debit card. You can stop the monthly payment at any time, and we confirm each payment by email. For more information about the Jazz 90.1 monthly gift option, call 966-2660 or visit us online at www.jazz901.org. With the monthly gift option, it's easier than ever for you to become a member of Jazz 90.1.
When you like the music you hear on Jazz 90.1, you want it to continue to be there for you the next time you tune in. And that's exactly what happens when listeners become members of Jazz 90.1. Membership ensures that Jazz 90.1 can continue to bring you the jazz you love. You might even call membership a kind of music insurance. So if you enjoy the music on Jazz 90.1, make it a policy to become a member or renew your membership by calling 966-5299.
Hi, I'm Phil Dodd, and I think you'll like the mix of music I play every weekday afternoon. I play today's best artists as well as the classic performers who made jazz America's own special art form. I also feature the standards, songs that have stood the test of time and are constantly being reinvented by jazz musicians. So please join me, Phil Dodd, noon to 3, Monday through Friday, right here on Jazz 90.1.
Hey, this is Rip Savage. Join me tonight for Fusion, 10 p.m., right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And at 45 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Hey, you know what I'm going to do on Friday? On Friday afternoon at 5 o'clock, I'm going to be right here at the wonderful, palatial Jazz 90.1 studios.
You know what? I think I'll be on down, too.
You think so? What about you, Steve?
I got to ask my boss.
Yeah,
I'll be here. We close at 6, so I might be a little late.
Oh, Jackie, come on. Let him out for an
hour.
Actually,
I got to pick my son up at school.
Let him out early. Yeah. Come on. Here's the deal. We are going to be having a little party to kick off the membership drive. If you come down, we're going to have you'll get a chance to meet cheese and crackers. Except for Steve. All the DJs on the air, all the hosts of all the talk shows, all the people are going to all be here. There'll be some goodies and stuff like that. And most importantly, you can bring down your check and get in early. Yep. One of the things that I know bothers people is, you know, when we back, people are always saying, all that.
Yeah.
Well, the reality is you only feel that way if you haven't pledged.
Exactly.
You know, when you're a member of the family, you feel good about it. When you're not a member of the family, you feel bad about it. So here's your chance to get in on the ground floor. I know you were upset that you missed the IPO for Google. You missed the IPO for Apple. But here's your chance to get in on the ground floor of this particular membership drive. And what you do is you come down on Friday, bring your checkbook, write us a check. Then throughout the drive, whenever we talk about the membership drive and ask for your membership dollars, you feel smug, and it's a great thing.
Well, plus we can also post the pictures. If we take pictures and say,
we'll bring take pictures
and post it up on our webpage.
Member pictures will be taken,
and we can
if you want them. You don't
have
to have your picture taken. We don't insist on
it. We can blot it out and the three of us around you.
So come on down. We'll take some pictures. We'll have some fun. We'll take some pledges, and it'll be all good stuff.
They might even see the who do we work for?
Rob Linton, ladies and gentlemen, yes. Will be here. Rob Linton. I don't get to say it often enough anymore, so I'll say it one more time before we go talk to somebody on the phone. Rob Linton. Our next caller is Colleen. Where are you calling from?
Hi, I'm from Perry.
Perry, New York?
Yes, correct.
Okie doke. What's your question?
Well, I have a hardware problem. I have an HP laptop, and the R key fell off. I got online to try to find out a way to reattach it that wouldn't damage it in any way. Seems to have like a little scissors type thing, and then there's a little mound, rubbery mound thing in the middle.
Yep.
I can still use the key. It's just that the top fell off.
Now, when you look at that, that little thing on either side, not the key, on the actual, it's usually white or black.
The scissor itself.
Yeah, the scissor part of it.
Yeah.
Do you see the little tabs on either side of it?
Well, I don't see any real tabs. You know, they're like two little bars that, are on each side of the thing.
Yeah, a lot of times those little tabs break off, and then you can't. Yeah, you can't reattach the key. You have to replace the keyboard.
Well, no, you can't. You can get replacement keys.
It depends if the tab on the keyboard itself is broken or the tab on the scissor is broken.
Well, I've found some companies will sell me the key along with the little plunger and that little scissor type device that's on top of it. And you can do a Google search for key keyboard replacements.
Okay.
And what it is, matter of fact, if you have problems finding it, email me, Dave at NWrightPC. com, and I can get you the website. But yeah, you can actually just get this one key, because we've had folks lose them.
Yeah.
And instead of buying the whole keyboard, the keyboard still works great. There's a company out there that sells just the actual key.
So, Colleen, are you a touch typist?
I do a lot of typing. I don't know. I'm not that great at it, I guess. But I do a lot of word processing.
Yeah, if you're a touch typist, the easiest thing to do is just rip off the rest of the keys.
Well, I was wondering if there was any way you could just, put a little bit of glue.
Yeah, put a little dab of glue on the rubber plunger, and then the key will go up and down.
Oh, it's like my friend Dory out in Nebraska there. She just wears off all the key.
The letters.
The letters on the keyboard. So, you can move them around.
But yeah, that's probably your best bet. Check for that. If you don't feel you can do it yourself, call Dave.
I just found a website called individualkeys.com.
Yes. Yeah, that's another one.
Where you put in your brand of computer and it gives you the keys.
If you can post that up there for folks.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot depends on where it's broken. If it's the tab on the scissor, then that's easily replaced. If it's the socket on the keyboard that the tab goes into, then you often need a new keyboard.
Yeah. But we'll have it posted on our webpage. If you go to, I heard it on Soundbites, the links page.
Links page, and then,
okay.
I heard this on Soundbites, and Steve will have a link there that, again, you can put in the information for your keyboard and the particular letter that you're looking for, and it'll tell you what you get for your buck.
Okay. Could I ask another question?
I don't know. Can you?
Yes, I can, if you'll listen.
Oh, yes, go ahead.
It's a generic question. I was wondering when you folks started broadcasting on 90.1.
We have been here since June 5th.
Really?
So almost a year now.
Yes, we're coming up on a year this coming June, thanks to gracious, what's his name?
Rob Linton, ladies and gentlemen.
We used to work for him over when he was just a little kid and needed a
a little stool to stand
chair,
on.
Yeah. Now he's graduated to a little step stool, and he can get up to the mic. And he asked us to come over here, and you know what? We are having so much fun, and all we're doing is asking our listeners out there to tell a friend. Because, we have moved, and now we're on a solid 2 hours every Saturday. Literally every Saturday, we're not going to be bumped for football, basketball, or spring hockey, or whatever.
4 minutes of commercials every 30 seconds.
Yeah, if that.
Yes, I was so happy to find you again, and I do intend to make a pledge.
What I like to hear. Thank you, Colleen. Come down Friday night and introduce yourself.
Yeah.
I can get there, I will.
All right, it's a deal.
Look forward to it.
Thank you.
Have fun.
Bye-bye.
That's what we were talking about before. It's just folks like that that are finally discovering us, and it's just a matter of folks telling other folks. Because right. I know Steve must hear it also, like I do each week in my shop. Well, when you guys coming back on? We are on. We've been on since June. Well, where? And I point to the signs, and I've got two of them, literally, that we're Jazz 90.1 member supporter. And on our bulletin board, you know, our new logo that we got up there with the Jazz and Sound Bites with the time and everything else on it. So, you know.
I had
had
a customer this week that
apparently you can, yes. Can,
yeah, I had a customer this week was sad cuz she used to listen to us 3 stations ago and hasn't found us.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Whoa.
Well, people, you know, when we're not as advertised out there, people can't find you.
And it's always a problem when a radio station cancels a show, they very rarely say where that show moves to cuz they don't want to advertise the competitors.
Right, exactly right. But we're delighted. We loved our old station, but we're very delighted. We're delighted to be here. It's a great place. Rob Linton, great guy. All the people here have been terrific to us. And we once again, and I know this is going to sound weird, but we once again get to ask for your pledge dollars. And that's actually kind of nice because it gives us that feeling of family, if you're willing, and it doesn't have to be a lot of money, and I know that a lot of you right now don't have a lot of money, but, you know, you pledge those dollars and you become part of the family, and it's a kind of a cool thing, actually.
Yeah, I mean, we did that, you know, like you say, 2 stations ago. It was something we always did, and, you know, so it's nothing for the majority of the time, over the 20 years that we've been on the air.
Right.
Far more were this type of format where we'd come to you folks and, again, you know, put down the challenge. And now we even got a bigger challenge because I'm putting it up there that we got to beat the polka folks.
Those doggone polka people, we got to beat their little behinds.
Yeah, we got to. I mean.
Or I suppose heinies. Dupas. Dupas.
Dupa.
Dupa. Neither are ours.
Mine clearly not, no.
But anyways, no, we got to do it because, you know, we came here and said, well, we got a lot of great listeners. And now for us to prove it to Rob again.
We
got to
do it again.
That the Sound Bites listeners, no matter where they are, they love listening to us. More and more of them are finding out about us. And maybe.
Well, we're not only live on Jazz 90.1, but we're on the jazz901.org live data stream. We have the archives at soundbites.org. We've got the Ustream streaming. We've got the IRC chat. You can get us on Facebook. You can get us on Twitter. If you can't find us, you're not paying attention. But we're going to give you a whole week to go look those things up because we are done for another week. You have wasted 2 solid hours in our presence, and we are honored and delighted that you did. But we're going to be gone for another week. Actually, not quite a week. We'll be here this coming Friday night. At 5 to 7. We'll be here from 5 to 7, if I remember the actual time. Want to thank you all. Dave Enright, Steve Ray, I'm Nick Francesco. George is coming in with the German program. It's going to be phenomenal, as it always is. Right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1, we will see you live Friday night. Thanks for listening.
America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, celebrating 20 years.